This is John Abrams, your host and that guy that interviews successful variety artists from around the world every single week. I just interviewed a couple that's revolutionizing the library market. Don't let their fun-loving, mile-a-minute, back-and-forth banter fool you. These folks know their stuff. Yes, this interview is a laugh a minute. Yes, it's crazy and goofy. And yes, I loved every minute of it. But listen carefully and you realize why these folks have been successful all these years and why their business is skyrocketing. I can't wait for you to hear this. Oh, and if you haven't already, make sure to sign your kids up for my online March Magic classes. I just added Tricky Tuesdays. So now you have a choice of two different days of the week, Tricky Tuesdays or Wonder Wednesdays. Not only will they gain confidence through the art of magic, but they'll become more creative and learn life skills they'll use forever. Just go to schoolofastonishment.com for more info or to sign up. A guaranteed great time. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to The Variety Artist, providing aspiring artists and entertainers with in-depth discussions from top performers from all over the world. So get ready to book some gigs, make some money, and have some fun with your host, John Abrams.
She's produced and performed original theatrical productions for children around the world and educational television content for PBS, The Travel Channel, Fox Kids, and Scholastic. He's a former Ringling Clown handpicked to develop a motivational social-emotional show for the Boys and Girls Club of America. Together, they're an Emmy, Telly, and iParenting award-winning video duo who have been producing comedy educational content for theaters, schools, and television for over 20 years. And they've revolutionized the library market. Variety artists, I give you Riley Rome and Kenny Mikey, Page Turner Adventures.
Just cheering for ourselves.
That's a mouthful.
Yay, you guys!
John, we're glad to be here.
I'm glad you guys are on.
I'd like to say something that I've always wanted to say to a either a podcast or a radio show or something like that. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
It's time for the adventures of Paige Turner, collecting, telling, writing stories too. She's a storyologist, Paige Turner. Paige will show you how to do it too. Paige Turner, Paige Turner, stories to be told. Paige Turner, Paige Turner, adventurous and bold.
All right, we're going to start right out of the box. Getting y'all riled up. Pardon the expression, Riley.
Woo! That's okay.
Riley. You're known professionally as Riley Rome.
Oh, here we go.
You're Jill Ross Nadler. And on stage, you're Paige Turner. Which is it? Oh, wait.
And then I call her a few things that we can't mention. You knew you were stirring up a hornet's nest here, didn't you?
Yes, it is all of the above. I know, it's so confusing. And I never, you know, people say, who are you? And I say, So professionally, I have been using Riley Rome for a long time because I was 20 something years ago. I was a kids club host for Fox Kids on TV. And when I started there, they said, your new name is Riley Rome. And I said, okay. And so I just started using it professionally. But my real name is Jill Ross Nadler.
Wait, so Rome came out of just nowhere?
It came out of nowhere because on TV I was, you know, roaming around the world and they were, you know, like wanted to use the B-52s song and whatever. And it was just, hey, this is your new name. And I said, okay, that's my new name. And so I've just used it professionally. I mean, there are a lot of people that got a little upset when I started using Jill Nadler because they were like, wait,
yeah, that's I'm one of them.
That's not your real name? Who? Yeah, but Kenny and I met. When we met, he met me as Riley. So at home, he just calls me Riley. I'm still Riley.
I call her Riley all the time. I have to like force myself to call her Jill. But the whole thing was, is that I said, okay, when she was still with Fox on TV, obviously she had a presence in the community. People knew her as Riley Rome. And then when she left, she's like, okay, well, should I change back to my regular name? Should I change to this? And I'm like, do whatever you want. But whatever you do, stick to that. And what she ended up doing was like, she's like, oh, I'm Riley, but now I'm Jill. But then my real name is this. I'm like, no, I don't care what you pick. Just pick one thing. So we just did a Zoom meeting earlier today, and she gave the whole, she walked right out of the box with that same thing. She's like, because it was like this person was introducing themselves, this other person was introducing themselves, themselves. And then she's like, well, my name's Riley, but it's Jill. But I'm like, just pick one thing right now. What's she going to call you?
You can call me Jill, or you can call me, right? Yeah. So
now, me, on the other hand, and everything I do and all of the shows that we do and all of the, I'm pretty much Kenny. I call myself the Tony Danza of children's entertainment, because just I'm one character no matter what happens.
One character, two first names.
So four actually, first names. Kenny Lee Scott Mikey.
Is that right? Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Four first names.
So Jill.
Yeah.
Or Riley or what? Riley.
See, there's the confusion.
That is the reason I started going towards Jill again is because with publishing, I decided to go with my real name. So I thought that it was time to transition back to Jill Ross Nadler. So that is my real name, but now I'm sort of in this in-between stage. And then on stage, my character is Paige Turner. So kids know me as Paige Turner. It's very confusing. That's a very long answer to a easy question.
You can tell a person's age by what they call you, right?
Absolutely. Okay.
Tell me about Paige Turner Adventures. Tell me about that. When did it start? How did it start? What's going on with it?
It predates me.
It predates Kenny. I was Paige Turner before Kenny and I even met. I was doing storytelling as Paige Turner. I had been a professional storyteller doing interactive movement stories for kids in preschools and libraries 25 years ago. And I took on the name of Paige Turner as a storyteller. And then when Kenny and I met, we decided to develop this program. And we were like, hey, clowning and storytelling, can we combine those two things? And at first the answer was no, absolutely not. We tried and it was a big flop. But eventually we figured out how to combine circus and clowning and storytelling and the interactive nature of what I had been doing before. We were trying to come up with names for what we were doing. And
she already had a theme song for Paige Turner.
I'm like, done. Yeah. And so we liked it because everything we do is about stories and reading. And we turn kids, Paige Turner is a storyologist. And that's someone who travels the world, going on adventures, collecting, telling, and writing stories. And the character is a cross between Indiana Jones and Mary Poppins. And Kenny is my slapstick sidekick.
I'm just the bumbling sidekick doofus guy.
That's
the story of my life.
He's in real life and on stage, he's my bubbling sidekick.
It's such a great name because
thank you.
Jessica Jane was the one that referred you guys. I didn't know you before. And she said, I'm going to refer you to a Paige Turner. And I said, Paige Turner, does she do libraries or something?
Exactly.
That was my first comment. It's terrific branding.
So it works.
Yeah, well, and beyond the library stuff, and the libraries are a huge part of what we do now, but we've always done them to a certain extent, but we've just encouraged literacy and reading and imagination throughout everything. We've done theater shows and school shows and, you know, TV and video, stuff like that. Our motto is, when you read, every day is an adventure. We've done that line together.
We actually messed it up.
That was the first time you guys have ever done that, right?
We've never done it before.
Wait, we're going to do it again? You lead. You're usually the one.
Because when you read, every day is an adventure.
All right, there second you take. Are. You can do second takes okay. in the virtual world. That's how it works amazing. Out all right. So what was the question?
So you guys started working together, doing Paige Turner Adventures together, as opposed to just Jill, Riley, whatever.
Exactly.
Jill, Riley, Kenny, Scott, Lee, Mikey thing.
We got names. You want names. We got them.
We obviously don't sing, though. That's not one of our things that we do.
I rap, but not sing. I was a clown with Ringling Brothers. And then when I was going through West Palm Beach, I was interviewed by the local kids club host. And that was this lovely lady right here. And then at the end of that year, I moved down to Florida. I was done with Ringling. I moved down to Florida. And then that's when we started performing. But I wasn't in clown. I'm clown-esque, but I wasn't in clown at that point in time. I still did side gigs and stuff like that, though, too.
Are you two married?
It's not obvious.
Well, I assume you are, but I don't...
Oh yeah, I guess we are.
We are married, so I have another name. So really, you know, I'm Jill Nadler Mikey.
Oh, wait a minute. Now your last name is Mikey. Wait a minute.
No, we didn't change it. We never changed it.
I didn't change it. I didn't change it because he spells it differently. And I was going to have to take on the fake spelling. And I said, I've got enough fake names. I don't need another fake name.
Yeah, the way that the legal spelling of my last name is, it's wonky, but it's always been pronounced Mikey. And so I just spell it now M-I-K-E-Y. And I figured it's easy. I'm not going to give them the actual legal spelling because I have variety artists everywhere. I'd be like, who's the, actually, they won't find anything.
You know, I'm going to ask now.
What?
The spelling of
the spelling
name?
Of my name?
It's a weird.
It starts with a Z. Yeah. When it's pronounced, the Z is silent. No, it's, it's, I don't even know how to spell my name. M-A-I-C-K-E.
Okay.
It's a weird combination of letters, though, that people can't wrap. It's hard to wrap your head around that combination of letters. Like, it doesn't look like Mikey. It doesn't. Whatever.
So anyway. my dad gets a little upset, obviously, but he's like, oh, it's, you know, it's the wrong spelling of the name. And I'm like, it's the evolution of the name.
Did you ever get introduced like this? Like, ladies and gentlemen, it's Kenny.
All the time. Mackie, Make, McKay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just go with Mikey, like Mikey likes it. And that's all good.
That's cool. I was just thinking, you guys graphics, I've had, probably 100 different headshots and different promotional shots on my Facebook group. And I think you guys promotional shot got the best reaction of anybody.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me who does your graphics and how did that, what's that all about?
Well, we're going to hook you up with a guy. Jessica Jane recommended someone. We got a guy because he's not just a photographer, but he's also a performer and he's got his own circus. Well, the one that though is the blimp. The blimp shot was a different photographer. But the guy that we have, his name is Kirk Marsh. Do you know Kirk Marsh?
No.
Oh, get to know Kirk Marsh.
Kirk Marsh is amazing. Yeah, Kirk Marsh is actually, so he does most of our images now. He is a clown, performer.
Former Ringling Clown.
And the most amazing photographer and creator of images. Like, he is equally amazing at both. He has a circus.
He has a circus. Circus Kirkus.
Circus Kirkus. And then he does these incredible, if you look him up.
Kirk Marsh Photography.
Kirk Marsh Photography. It's genius. And he's a storyteller when it comes to photography. So he now creates all of our great images.
Everybody listening to this, tell them that Paige Turner referred you guys.
Oh, man.
Look him up. His stuff is absolutely brilliant. And because it's not just he takes a picture, but then he manipulates things and does things.
Yeah, he does a lot of compositing and Photoshop.
Does he do a lot of your graphics for your stages and backdrops and things?
No,
that we've hired other people to do graphics and images. I think it's always been important to us to just have really good images.
Your stage design is fantastic. Because, in fact, you're known kind of for your supersized stage shows, right?
Yeah. We call them supersized stories. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have our Once Upon a Time machine, which is this big, you know, steampunky, you know, machine thing that we actually can go into when we're doing TV stuff. We've got just a green screen back there, but we can actually jump into it. And then, you know, digitally later, I can fix it. When we're doing live, we have a big rear view projection screen back there. And so we can interact with the screen on there. And we've got a guy that man, he's insane. A prop builder that builds Disney quality stuff, but like his prices are really, really low. We decided a long time ago, you know, we're doing a good job. We feel like we're, you know, getting along in the theater world and we're doing all right, but we want to increase our prices. We decided we're not going to get any better. We're just going to buy better stuff and we're going to look prettier on stage. It worked.
And maybe get a little better.
We got a little better. No, but that's the hard part of getting better.
Maybe actually work at what we do.
No! Phone it in. No. Of course not. Yeah, we really concentrate on like our promo stuff. Because the thing is that 90% of the people that book you are never going to get, probably more than 90%, are never going to get a chance to actually see you do your thing unless it's promo. And I'm a video editor, so I can create all the video promo all day long. You know, we've got the graphics people, and I can kind of get by with some graphics. And then she's the writer, so we can, you know, create dynamic stuff that gets out there. And hopefully when we show up, hopefully we're as good as our promo.
When people see video of your stuff, your theater stuff, all your giant backdrops and your big props and everything, you know, they say, oh, this must be a valuable show. They may or may not even be looking at the performance, but they're looking at the bigness of it.
Yeah.
And that is worth some money.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
I think we've all probably seen people who have great promo, but then the show doesn't necessarily live up to that. So we hope and we try very hard to make the show live up to what we think the promo looks like. That is the most important thing. But
of course, then we need to pack all that stuff in a high top cargo van.
I was going to ask you about that. You book a theater and you put all your, you get all your stuff set up and then you got to break it all down. That's got to be a high ticket item, and you got to have a lot of space to store all that stuff.
Yeah, well, luckily I am a packing genius and I'm like Tetris for, you know, actual real life.
He's Tetris man.
Yeah, I am Tetris man. So all the Once Upon a Time machine and everything, it breaks down. I've got specific bags for everything so it doesn't get, you know, banged up.
The trike.
The blimsical trike that you see in the picture there on your website or on your whatever is was Facebook. It's on this website too. That all breaks down. And like, I had to like work with my prop guy to go, okay, how can we make a big, huge blimp like this break down to just about nothing? That's why I love doing theaters, though, is that you go there and it's, you know, you got like a 3-hour setup and then you do the show. The show's nothing. And then you got, you know, like 1.5-2 hour breakdown. And, you know, the difference between that and then libraries, you go and if you're lucky, man, you get a 15-minute setup.
That's right.
But then you got to, obviously, we don't bring the blimsical into the libraries.
How big is your setup in the libraries?
It's definitely smaller than what we do. It's actually this backdrop, right?
This backdrop right here, yeah.
Yes.
All the people listening to this, it's about, what is that?
It's about 6.5-7 feet. And it's got like the Storyologist Island. There's little places all over the place in the on the thing that are from pieces from different parts of our shows or stories from our shows. We've got the town of Mozzarella over there. That's from the pizza show that we do.
This is a podcast. People can't.
No, I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm reading it for them.
Use your imagination.
I'm reading it through. Over on the west coast of Storyologist Island, we have.
I think we get the idea.
It's definitely a smaller backdrop than what we do for theaters, but it's still, we still, you said 15-minute setup. We still, when we're doing library shows, we still like an hour setup because
we like an hour setup, but sometimes we get multiples.
Yeah, when we're doing multiple, but we do the backdrop, we have side panels, we do the sound system, we have trunks, we have costumes. So it's still a pretty big
setup. One of the shows that we were doing, not last year, but the year before was with, I'm a giant on stilts with big huge foam hands, and so we have to bring all of that stuff in as well, and because that's a whole big setup in and of itself. Yeah, we got props, baby.
Yeah, sounds like it. Now COVID hits, right?
And
2019, we're doing tons of shows. I myself did 100 library and after school shows, which I thought was a lot until I read what you guys do. And then 2020 hits, and the live libraries took a dive.
Went away.
I had 60 or 70 shows booked that canceled within 2 days.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yep. Gone. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Gone. Just gone. Yep.
So what did you guys do to pivot from live shows to
virtual
baby.
You know, it's so funny. We first, like everybody, just sat there and
stared at the wall for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I laid in bed and stared at my ceiling for a month.
I mean, it was definitely oh my goodness, what are we gonna do moment.
Thought it was all over. I didn't know what was going on.
I didn't know. Yeah, and then we decided, since, you know, we've done the live shows for years, but while we were doing live, we've also always done video and television at the same time. So we have the equipment, we had the cameras, we had all of the stuff
and the skills.
And we've also worked with libraries, not just doing shows. For many years, we created and presented summer reading program workshops for librarians. So we were hired by the State Library of Florida. We were hired by the State Library of Louisiana, and then a bunch of libraries in New York and Connecticut. And we created these day-long workshops for librarians with crafts and storytelling and activities and all of these
things. And dance breaks. Like just weird things coming up on the PowerPoint because I would create it and have fun and do whatever. But so we had a lot of fun. It was day-long workshops that they had people doing it before us that were like, oh, there was, you know, it wasn't necessarily exciting. We thought of it as a day-long show. And so we just went, okay, at this point in time, they're going to be a little tired, so they need their break here. Or at this point in time, let's give them a little bit more energy. This point, you know, it's like anyone does that in a show is doing the ebb and the flow of what the audience is going to be. And we did that with a day-long workshop.
So when you say day-long, do you mean 6 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Six or eight.
Yeah, like 6 or 8 hours of just, we would have a room with 100 librarians. We spent months before developing crafts and activities and projects
and PowerPoint and games and picking out music and stuff.
And then we would show them, hey, here's a craft. Here's how you do it. It goes along with this book. The other thing that I'm very immersed in the children's book world. I write for kids. So I'm just immersed in that world. So we were able to take that experience and develop these programs. So we did that for about 4 or 5 years, creating craft after craft and project and doing these presentations. So when we were like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We have to pivot. We decided rather than just taking our show and making a virtual show, we thought, you know, libraries need content right now and they need stuff. And we have years of crafts and years of doing all of this. And we created a web series called Book Smarts and Crafts. That was all kinds of crafts that were related to children's books. And so we had all of this like things that we thought we
used to consider ourselves completely scattered with all of these different,
we're doing theater, but we're doing television, but we're doing
workshops. And they didn't really mix very well. And it's like, oh, but you know, you go where the money is sometimes too. So it's like, oh, but also our passions varied between the different things that we liked. And it's like, oh, but when we focused on the video stuff too much, then the live show stuff, you know, went by the wayside and vice versa. And then now we're focusing on this library thing, which was the workshop stuff. And then both of the other things kind of went by the wayside.
We always felt like we were just so scattered. And then all of a sudden, when this happened, it came together in this perfect storm of live and television and crafts and storytelling. And we interview children's authors. And then all of the guests, we have guest performers, a lot of variety artists.
We were born to play, baby!
A lot of people that you've had on your show were people that we had as guest performers because we love performers. And we wanted to give all of these people an opportunity. And it's came together and we wound up creating, last summer, it was a 10-week program, 5 days a week. But we did like 4 crafts a week and two author visits and multiple. So we wound up doing over 100.
Did about 150.
150.
It was 150. Oh my goodness.
Videos last summer that Kenny edited pretty much all of them. And
went insane.
It was nuts. So we're doing it again this summer.
I'm going to go insane again.
Wait, are you doing something? You're doing new stuff this summer, or are you just adding
all
to
new.
All new.
All no, new.
All new.
Complete.
Everything
is brand new for this summer.
You got to go with the theme, baby.
So this summer, we're creating all new shows.
We're writing a musical.
We wrote a musical.
Right.
Why not?
What are we thinking?
Yeah, all new. We're not doing as many videos. This one is probably going to be about 40 to 50 because our biggest complaint
last summer. And we're keeping them short, too.
We're keeping them short. The biggest complaint we had last summer was that it was too much content. We're like, all right, if that is your problem, then I'm sorry. We'll work on that. And by week 8, when the librarians were like, yeah, that's enough. We're like, but we've got two more weeks. Okay, we'll do it.
Please do less work for us.
That's exactly what
we'll
it was.
We'll pay you the same.
Because it was too much. Yep.
Yeah.
No, actually, we're charging a little bit more.
We're charging more than the
election. We're charging more and a little bit less.
We'll pay you more and you do less work.
Yeah. But we learned. I mean, we learned because we just jumped in and we didn't know. We didn't know how to get them out there. And we, you know, what was the best format and what. So we learned so much. And it actually has changed our business completely. And we had 50 or 60 library shows like you booked last summer. And then we wound up having 500 virtual libraries
that in 27 states and Canada.
This year, we're hoping for more than that. So
this year, we're hoping to triple it.
Hoping to triple it. We'll see.
Here we go. Cross fingers.
We're talking to states, and like states now are interested in talking to us about doing it for their entire state because librarians are exhausted and they are now expected. They're already superheroes. We think librarians and teachers are the absolute superheroes.
Yeah, me too. I've said that in so many different podcasts.
And they've always been. But with everything that's going on now, they're now expected to do their jobs and also be producers and actors and editors. And like, oh my God, these poor people. So if we can give them the content and say, look, here, it's plug and play. We have it. If you want to do your own thing, great. But now here's this thing. And we're trying to make it cheap enough that they can just do it and it's easy.
And we give them all the promo material and everything. We give them images and videos. We do demo video, or not demo, we do short videos for each video that we're doing even. So they can put 30 seconds up on Facebook and say, hey everyone, don't forget to watch this later today or whatever it is, you know, so.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal. Here's the crazy part. Here's the crazy part. So our Once Upon a Time machine is huge, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you said that earlier. So okay. I'm just going back on what you said. All right, so our Once Upon a Time machine is huge. Our living room is not that huge. We do have a big, tall ceiling, so that works out well. So we set up our Once Upon a Time machine in our living room in order to do, and so like we created the demo for this last year and everything like that. And we're like, okay, and we were, you know, we moved our couch to the side. We locked our cats in. Nah, we let our cats roam wherever they want to go. So, but we're like, okay, we're going to do this no matter what happens.
We're going to talk about that at some point in time.
Oh, the cats.
They're not over here, actually.
Yeah, they usually don't like us doing this. So, but what we decided to do is I was like, you know what? This is garbage. Let's try and get into a theater. And so we actually called up a theater that we've had a relationship with, a local theater, beautiful historic theater, we've had a relationship with for the past 20 years. We actually got married on that stage.
I made something up and you just said it. You don't even know this.
I don't even know this. I'll play dumb later.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Okay. I'm sorry. So you rented a theater and...
No, that's the thing. So I called up a theater that we've had a relationship with for a long time, performed at a bunch of times, and they decided to just do a trade deal with us. They're like, okay, well, we like to, you know, help out.
We need some content.
They wanted content to help out, like, the, you know, to give to the local schools and stuff like that. And so they're like, here you go. So they let us use the space all summer long, and we did a trade deal with them with some of the content. Now we've got a different deal that, you know, they benefit a little bit more, you know, financially, because, you know, it's now that things are starting to pick up a little bit. But we help them not only on stage, we have all of our equipment, all of our stuff, but also we built a green screen studio up there in one of their empty rooms that they had. And it's this gorgeous studio. We've got all our lighting, all our cameras, and then they can rent it out as well. And then the person who was building the green screen psych wall for us said, you know, I got a buddy that's getting rid of his old psych wall that's 40 feet wide and 20 feet deep, and you can just have it. And so now they have that on stage, and they're just finishing up. And it's going to be a white psych wall. It's just getting finished up right now. It's going to be a white infinity wall. And now they can bring in people to do like music videos there.
Or we can do a musical. So that's what we're doing. That's our story. Wow. And that's the summer. And we're in the midst of it right now. And it's fun and crazy. And we love it.
So if I'm in a library with one of the states that you're working with, I talk to whoever's in charge of it. You can cover my entire summer and I don't have to hire any more artists. Is that right?
Now here's the deal. And we were trying to be very...
Yes and no.
We were trying to be very cognizant about that because, as I've mentioned before, I love variety artists and I don't want to just undercut everyone left and right. So, yeah, we've got our performance things, but we try and keep everything really short now. And even last year when we had guest performers come in, we tried to keep it short. So it was just a taste of what their show was. And it wasn't... All of our stuff, too, is pre-recorded. So it's not... You're not getting a live experience at your library. It's all pre-recorded stuff. If you want a live experience or if you want a longer show, yes, please hire one of these guys. The pricing for what this program is so crazy deadly cheap. It's like essentially the price of one or two shows, like live shows, for the entire summer. So we're not blowing anyone's budget. All of our stuff is pre-recorded stuff. So if you want that, you know, live feel, and if you want someone to go, hey, I'm going to go to the John Abrams Library, what's going on? How you doing, man? John, a librarian, that's something that our program doesn't offer. So just, yeah, definitely hire John Abrams.
And one of our goals with what we're doing, when we have, what Kenny was saying, when we have the performers, we'll have them do like a 15-minute excerpt of a show. Because we now have the platform with a lot of librarians, it's a way for us to promote other people and introduce them. And so that's something that we're trying to do, because we didn't want to undercut people. And that was something we really discussed beforehand. I don't know if that's what you're asking, but it's obviously something we feel a little guilty about.
That would make me feel guilty I don't know if it would make me feel guilty necessarily or not. To dominate the market, so
they drove if I may do a Simpsons quote, they drove a dump truck full of money up to my house. I'm not made of stone.
That's right.
We don't want to undercut anybody, we want it to be something that librarians can have. Here's the content, and now we try to make it as budget friendly as possible, so that it's like them getting one show, and then we do it in volume.
Well, and what we've done with the guest performers, what we did last year, and I think it's different this year, because last year so many people like, virtual show, what are you talking about? Okay, hold on, let me fix something real. Okay, now I'm ready. We gave that opportunity to book virtual shows for some performers, including someone that you've had on here before, who's a good friend of ours, Steve Trash, wasn't doing virtual before. And then we're like, he's like, yeah, I could probably, he's got his whole thing. He's done TV. Like, he's a guy that can just whip it out like that. No problem.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. I love him. And so he did that and he was killer. But the thing is, he said, I wouldn't have, this helped me just get the ball rolling, because I wouldn't have done this unless you guys hired me for it. And that's the thing too, is we're paying all our performers too. So
yeah.
So, I mean, we had some people that were just, you know, we felt bad that we were just paying what we were paying. People seemed very happy to get a gig.
Oh yeah. Because for a while there was nothing on the, it appeared to be nothing on the horizon. You had to be very creative.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Create something like you guys have.
I saw a lot of other people just pivot like crazy. We got in on it too and got the craziness started.
I myself am one of those that's pivoting and teaching. So now I'm teaching after school cares and hopefully summer programs, we'll see, around the United States now, as opposed to just in Southern California.
Yeah, you've got a reach now.
I'm doing jobs now in Chicago and South Carolina and a number of places across the country, as opposed to just here. Yep. So it's pretty cool. All right, we're going to go on to fact or something John just made up. You ready for that?
I love this game. Let's do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it fact? Or is it something John just made up?
Here's how it works. I'm going to say a headline, and you're going to tell me whether it's true or not. And if it is true, tell me a little more about it.
Side-eye.
All right.
Okay.
If it's not true, can I tell you a little bit more about it?
Sure. You can, whatever you want to do.
We're storytellers. We'll just make it up.
Okay. First one. Kenny and Jill once were locked in the New York Public Library overnight.
True.
With 500 other people.
Of our best friends.
No, they became our best friends. There was a game that someone created a big, huge game.
Jane McGonigal.
Oh, Jane McGonigal. That's right. She's all about gamification and turning the world into a game. And so she created a game where she would bring in 500 people. She sent us all throughout the library, all throughout the New York Public Library. This is the only time like they've ever done this.
They locked the doors.
And then you went into groups. And then that night, everyone together wrote a book.
Oh, that's cool. In the New York Public Library.
That's now in the New York Public Library. Bound it there. They had someone live binding the book right there.
But first we had to solve clues and riddles and like go into the stacks where you never get to go and find different. It was so cool.
It was so cool.
We flew to New York to do it.
Initially, and you had to apply to do it. And initially I applied and I gave information, whatever. I said who we are and stuff like that. And they went, thank you very much, but you haven't been selected. And I emailed them back and I'm like, I don't think you understand. We're storyologists. We're all about books. This is what we do.
And they said, okay,
come like, on. They're like, all right, fine. We flew up from Florida. We flew up on that day.
And then flew back.
And then flew back the day after that because we had a show. So yeah, we were up all night long.
It was amazing.
It was insane. Incredible. And we wore our costumes too. And the thing is, my costume is, and if you can see in that picture, it's like kind of like a brown jumpsuit thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I had some video equipment on my back. And so I had a big backpack. I'm wearing a, kind of brownish, goofy jumpsuit. I've got a big camera on me that looks like it could be a photon blaster. And everyone thought I was a Ghostbuster.
I was just about to bring that up.
There you go.
He did. Everybody's like, Ghostbuster. Like,
no, storyologist, but thanks.
Close.
All right, next one.
All right, what else you got?
Here we go. Kenny shook the hand of the Dalai Lama.
Oh, that's true.
Is it true?
It is true.
That's true. When I was...
How did you do that?
The shortened, condensed version.
Here we go. So when I was 17, I was in high school, that's which many people are. The Dalai Lama was coming to, that's in Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm from. Dalai Lama was coming to speak at the local field house or whatever, and they were giving away tickets. And so I went to get a ticket, and all the tickets had already been given away. And I'm like, oh man, but I really, really want to see him. So I talked to my buddy who is a graphic artist, and graphic artist in those days was literally cutting everything out with razor blades.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just a punch something up on a computer. He made me a press badge. We had a couple other people that they made press badges, and we said, and then we called up the UW.
Well, look, what people Madison. Don't know about this guy is he also made driver's licenses and passports.
Exactly.
And...
Exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he did. Yes.
You need a connection? I'll call him up. So we called where the Dalai Lama was speaking, and we said, or I said, hi, my name's Kenny, and I'm with the Sword and Shield. We're a West Side Madison publication, and we want, that was the school newspaper.
High school newspaper.
High school newspaper. I didn't tell them that. And we wanted to bring some people, and they're like, all right, well, go to this door at this time. Bring your credentials. And I'm like, all right, fine. Okay, no problem. So we had the press badges made. My dad had like a big old huge camera with like a flash on the side that I had and then with a big 200mm zoom lens. I was 17. I didn't know what photographers look like. I put on like a derby, kind of like a hat, and then I put my press badge in there.
So he was like the 1920s?
Because he saw it in the movie.
So in his head, that's what reporters look like Scoop. You know,
all right, so that was me.
Wait, I know I'm kind of interrupting you, but look, I do this in one of my classes. Wait, you have to see this.
Perfect. That's it.
Is that it? For those of you who can't see this, I have a fedora right now with a press badge in the hat because I do this in my. In my classes, I interview all the kids with my press hat on.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, now I can get you into the shake the hand of the Dalai Lama. So here's what happened. So we roll in. I've got like three or four people. We all roll. Oh, and by the way, we get to the UW. We get to where the field house is. And someone's just at the front going, yeah, I got extra tickets. And I'm like, forget it. At this point in time, I'm going with my thing. You know, someone had free tickets, but forget it. And so we get there. And what we didn't realize is that the press section is right up front. We are literally in the front row. And the section for all the free tickets is all like, you know, way, way back in the nosebleed seats. So we're sitting there. I've got a 200mm lens on this old time camera that I don't really know how to use, but whatever. I'm taking pictures of like the Dalai Lama's nose hairs right over there. He's, you know, he does his whole speech. He's fantastic. He's wonderful. I'm taking pictures. Blah, blah, blah. So then it ends. He walks off the stage. He goes down to stage right, walks off the stage. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go over and get a couple more pictures. Now he gets mobbed by everyone. There's just an enormous, everyone wants to talk. So enormous people. So I've got the camera in the air. I'm taking the pictures. I'm doing, I don't know, maybe I got something. And then I just kind of stand there and I'm like, And then all of a sudden the crowd parts. The Dalai Lama turns directly towards me. He starts walking towards, I'm freaking out. He's walking towards me. He puts his hand out. I put my hand out. We shake hands. He says, thank you. I said, no, thank you. And then he walked to the exit, which was right behind me, which I didn't know. But I'm like, the Dalai Lama's coming over to talk to me.
Kenny's just standing there in the exit. He had to get by him.
Or the bathroom, maybe. I don't know. So that's that.
Yeah. All right. Here's the third one. You guys are going to laugh when you hear this. All right. number three, Kenny and Jill were married on stage.
Okay. So
before, wait. Before you answer, I did make that up, but go ahead now.
That's actually true.
It's true. We were married on the stage of the theater that we now work out of, strangely enough, The Crest Theater at Old School Square. We were married on stage.
I stage managed the wedding.
He did. He stage managed the wedding.
And I had a remote control for the music in my pocket. And I actually did the musical. And then also I was telling like Grandma, okay, Grandma, go.
Go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Dad, you're on deck. And Dad, go. Okay. And so and then finally I was the last person to walk out, but I sent everyone out too early. But I knew what the music was. So now in order to get the timing right for when the curtain went up and when she walked, you know, downstage, is I had to walk really slow all the way down the aisle. But it worked out.
It worked out.
Yes, we got married on stage. I can't believe you just made that up. Make up something else.
What else could be true? Come on, what else?
I didn't even know if you guys were married or not. I didn't know. That's why I asked at the beginning of the show.
And it was a fun wedding on stage.
And the guy that married us got, he was one of those online, I want to marry my friends.com. And he said that in the thing. He goes, by the power invested in me in the state of Florida and www.iwantomarrymyfriends.com.
It's cool.
He was a variety artist.
Oh, that's a good one. So I was a little nervous right before, you know, we were actually going to do the whole thing and right before the music started and everything like that.
Yeah. The whole thing. The wedding.
Yeah, whatever.
The getting married.
The performance.
The show.
It was a show. So anyway, so my buddy, Thomas P., good guy, variety artist. So he's like, hold on. I got an idea. Come here. And we went up to the dressing room upstairs real quick, and we passed 7 clubs, and that actually calmed my nerves. So
I'm sure. And to this day, you're married to this day.
Yeah.
We're still married.
Still juggling to this
20 years.
20 years, is that right? Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
Last one. Kenny and Jill hired a pet detective to find their lost cat.
Also true.
Did you just make that up? No.
I did not make that one up.
That was last week. That was our experience.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was just last week?
That was last week. And you know what? We love all of our animals. We have 3 cats, and then we feed a bunch of we have feral cats outside. And yes, I'm a crazy cat lady, but we love them all. This one little cat, I can't believe he's not over here. He usually shows up on the Zoom meetings. He left and we were devastated. And he usually go outside for a couple minutes and he comes right back in, and he went and he was just gone. And he was gone for a week, and we couldn't get any work done. We were
crying our eyes out,
sobbing daily. We were a mess, and we didn't know what to do.
We don't have children. Those are our children.
The cats are our children. And we absolutely, and this little guy is just like our special, special little guy. And we were devastated. And so people were giving us suggestions, and someone said, here's a pet detective. And we were like, no, that's not really a thing.
Wait, they gave you a business card? Here's a pet detective?
I joined all of these lost pet groups on Facebook, and of which there are many. And now I'm still a member and I'm seeing all these lost pets. But someone said, hey, you know, here's this. Her name is P.I. Oh, and this is her name is P.I. Jamie Katz.
And that's her real name.
K-A-T-Z.
That's her real name. It's the part she was born to play. If you go to her website, which I don't know what their website is, but look up P.I. Jamie Katz, like she has embraced the whole Ace Ventura kind of thing as well, because she's got like her logo is her holding like a big card with the funky clothes. That's not what she shows up in, but.
But she comes with sniffer dogs, and we had to like find something that he had only touched, which was the hardest thing because we have multiple cats and we were touching. And so he had, you know, something with just his smell on it. And then she has dogs that go and search the neighborhood, and they don't necessarily find the cat, but they figure out the perimeter, and it looks like he's in this general area somewhere, and so you know where to place signs. And then she tells you to to leave a scent trail. So for days we had a rope with our dirty laundry that we're just dragging around the neighborhood. We didn't look crazy at all. It was
crying
shaking
the crazy cat lady crying and pulling a rope with a
And
Kenny was on. I was walking, dragging my laundry, shaking the treats, sobbing, going Philo, like a ghost around the neighborhood. And Kenny was on his
recumbent trike,
dragging his laundry, Philo. So for a week,
so pathetic.
And then a minute after midnight, so it was technically Valentine's Day last week. I've been sleeping on the couch with the door open, and he just came to the door and showed up and meowed, and he was home. Wow. We have PTSD. We were so traumatized by the entire thing, but we did hire, that was a very long story to say, yes, we hired a pet detective.
I think it helped. I think the
dragging the clothes actually led him home. I think he was lost and he needed to.
What you really didn't realize is that while he was gone, he hired a people detective. And so throughout this entire process, he was looking. So finally he found you guys.
That's exactly
That's
it.
That's what happened.
P.I. Jamie person.
Exactly. No, but we're actually going to do it since now the theme for the summer for the libraries is Tales and Tales, and we're doing video. We're Page Turner Animal Adventures. We're not, copyright CSLP, they got their thing. So we're Page Turner Animal Adventures. So we're actually going to be doing a video piece on P.I. Jamie Cats.
We're going to do a piece because she's a pet detective and it's awesome. So
that is pretty awesome.
That was fact. Ooh. Or something John just made up.
We have some more time. You guys want some fan questions?
Sure.
Yeah, bring it.
Yes.
Every time I interview somebody new, I put on my Facebook that people on my Facebook can ask questions of the people I'm interviewing. So here you are, and here they are. Kenneth Ahern, is that how you say his name?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
An amazing entertainer out of La Crosse, Wisconsin asks, what are your tips for managing as professional performing artists, partners, and a married couple?
Don't do it.
You can't see it right now, but Jill Riley is hitting him right now.
No.
Oh, and loving
him. Yeah, and kicking him under the table.
A little bit.
Shall I answer?
Yes, please go.
Okay. It's a challenge, actually, but we love it. I think that the answer is that we definitely have our areas that we're both in charge of. So
I do not let her pack the van at all. She used to try, but she would like throw in like a pen and it would take up the entire back. So
I do not have the Tetris gene. Yeah. So we each have our areas of expertise that we're both in charge of, and the other person does not encroach on those
areas.
For
example, I'm the funny one.
Hmm.
That is debatable.
I write much of his material, that is so true. There you go.
But it's the delivery.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, I'll let that one lie.
Yeah. I think it's just having our different areas of expertise and not letting the other person encroach. Stop encroaching.
I'm sorry about that.
Get away.
Okay. Yasu Theodore Yoshida, who, by the way, I interviewed, fantastic interview for him. Mm. The Magic Story artist, he says and asks, last year when I did virtual library shows in the South, Page Turner Adventures were everywhere. I enjoyed their content. Is there any difference in creating library shows from theater shows? In materials, developing process, making relationship with clients, marketing, etc.?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Next question. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's so funny because we will do the same basic show that we do for a theater that we're doing for 2,500 people.
With the props and effects and,
But it's the same basic show that we're doing in a library. So it's still very interactive. We're still having the kids. One of our other things is that in a Page Turner Adventure, you are the hero of the story.
We got to do that one together.
We have to do it together. In a Page Turner Adventure,
you are the hero of the story.
Mm-hmm. It's the same basic show. It's just we definitely scale back on the props and the sets.
We do not have a 3-hour setup. We don't bring the Once Upon a Time machine. We don't.
Yeah, so I think that's a little different. I think we still, in terms of relationships and props and materials and things like that, I think people are people, and talking to people and building those relationships are. What are you doing?
I will say this. What am I doing? I was waiting to interject. I was standing here nicely.
He was not encroaching.
I wasn't encroaching. No, but I was not. So, okay. So, one thing I will say, I freaking love librarians, man. They're the best people. Now, we've gone to, you know, like APEP, as you heard in another interview. And then we've gone to other, you know, like Arts Midwest and other big theater conferences. And we, you know, theater people are, hey, they're good people. I'm not saying, but it's easier to talk and hang out and sell with librarians. And she would be a librarian if she
didn't do what I do. Yes. Really? I actually do play a I play a librarian on TV. So yes.
I love librarians. I mean, I've, you know, done libraries for years and years and years and they're just some of the easiest and best people to work with.
They're the best people, especially, you know, I think we're all mostly dealing with children's librarians and they are a special breed. And truly, I love teachers as well. I personally don't think I would be, I don't know that I could be in a classroom full time, but I would be a librarian. And actually I do one of the other names that I have is Misunderstood, who is a wacky librarian. So that is one of my other characters. Wait.
We're not getting back to that, are we?
It's a thing.
Misunderstood.
The other thing I want to say about what's exciting now, what we're doing about the libraries is that we're able to do our full theater show for a library. Because it's on video.
Yeah, so they're getting the big show now with the special effects, with the fog, with the green screen, with the huge Once Upon a Time machine, which we could never bring into libraries.
That's cool.
They're getting a full-on theater show with a three-camera switching shoot, you know. So it is nice now that we're able to do like the big productions for libraries.
So this wasn't one of the questions, but this is one of my questions. So what do you think is going to happen when they go back? I mean, I'm in California. No libraries are open to live entertainment right now here. I don't know how it is where you are, but here none of them are. But eventually they will be. Yeah,
right.
Maybe a couple of years from now. Do you think that the video content that you're using, maybe in addition to live performances, will be popular? What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
We ain't going back.
I think it's going to stay. I don't think it's going to be what it is now when they're able to do live. But I suspect that the virtual is here to stay, because I think that they're able to. Not every kid can get to the library for a show, and not everybody can get to every program to make a craft. And so for them to be able to reach out to kids that are at home or, you know, not able to get to the library, but still have content and still have this interaction and still see a performance, I think it's here to stay for libraries and schools, because we also do a lot of school performances. And same thing, you know, and what a lot of my teacher friends are saying, and also librarians, is that they never really were that comfortable with the technology before. And now they've had to they've had to get familiar with it. And now a lot of people are seeing, it doesn't necessarily take the place of, now it has to take the place of, but it can be in addition to. I think it's going to be something, I hope it is, because we love doing it and we would like to continue doing this kind of programming because we love it.
The reason I asked that, I was asked that in another, when I was being interviewed, and I had a similar answer to you. I think now that people are used to it, and even entertainers, like you said, when this whole thing first started, they're like, well, how can I make my show into a virtual show? And now that some time has gone by and we've all kind of learned how to produce shows online and make them look good and look big, it's a whole different ballgame than it was a year ago. When people go back, I think, like you're saying, there's going to be some sort of a hybrid between live and video, because the video is so good now.
Yeah,
I think so. And I think also then someone can have John Abrams, who might not be able to come to Florida. A Florida library can now have you do something like that's amazing. It just expands everybody's reach.
And 20 years ago, one of the first projects that we worked on was a video series that was little short 3-minute videos that played in elementary schools that were helped kids with test stress and stuff like that. Most of our job was teaching people, hey, this is a good thing. No, you play a video for kids. And now it's just like, oh yeah, videos. Yeah, that's great. Let's go cut to a video. Like it's so much more in everyone's vernacular right now.
Got to be a way easier sell now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next question.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you who this is from, but one of your fans asks, who's your favorite redheaded, slightly weird, fishing girl, vaudeville goof?
Jessica Jane!
Love Jessica Jane.
Okay, Jessica, that was just for you. All right. Next, Aaron Watkins, Master of Circus Arts out of Sarasota, Florida, asks, do you know him?
Yeah, he was one of my instructors at Clown College.
Oh, cool, cool. All right, what rather unusual photo did Kenny send with his application to help his chances of getting into Ringling Brothers Clown College?
That sounds like a loaded question. Wait, did you not see that one?
I saw it, but I didn't realize he was one of your instructors.
He was one of my instructors at Clown College. So he knew what was going on. So when people apply to Clown College, what Ringling's looking for is not just if you're funny, if you're physical, if you're whatever. They're looking for people who are dedicated to the road, dedicated to the circus, and will do anything. And I figured, what shows dedication more than anything else? A tattoo.
Oh,
so I didn't get a real tattoo, but I had a buddy of mine who was an artist draw. Like I opened my shirt up.
Where you were going.
Yeah, no, but I'm not really opening my shirt up right now, but I opened my shirt up like I was Superman, and I had him tattoo the Clown College logo on my chest, or not tattoo. I had him draw it with Sharpie markers. Then there's a banner across the bottom of the logo that says 20th anniversary or this or that, or whatever. And I put hopeful, and then I blew it up to like 3 feet by 5 feet or whatever, something like that, and sent it to them. And so I think they put that on a poster. And
eventually worked.
It eventually worked. It took me 3 years to get into Clown College.
Lucy Spielberg, a spectacular children's entertainer out of the UK, asks, Riley Rome.
Yes.
Do you always play the straight man or woman or person, whatever?
You know, we were talking about that. 99.9% of the time I do. Paige Turner is kind of the straight man to Kenny's, is definitely the straight man to Kenny's goofball. So we're sort of Mary Poppins and Bert-esque kind of, you know,
if relationship. Bert was annoying.
So.
Hey, I know who I am, man.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it.
A little annoying. So most of the time that is the relationship, but
we just did a video piece called What Happens Next?
And I played a character who was a comedy character, and Kenny was the straight man in that one. So it was fun. It was fun to be the funny one.
Yeah, for once. She's hilarious. Hilarious, I tell you.
I set him up, you knock him down.
I knock him down. But actually, with the setup and knockdown, actually, I was reading that on your Facebook page, and Lucy was asking about that because she was saying that she's a clown as well, and that her partner has to set up her jokes. Is that how you do it? And I'm like, I didn't say anything, but I'm saying to you now, I don't tell jokes. I don't even know what I'm saying half the time besides the stuff that she writes. And I improv a lot. And that's where the quote unquote annoying comes in, is that I try and work with her and whatever, but sometimes I just kind of go off. And so usually the straight man in her ends up, for lack of a better word, chiding me, you know, after I kind of go off, and she's like, can we get on with the show now, for crying out loud? I'm like, let's get on with the show. But yeah, it's definitely me just kind of going off and saying whatever the heck I want and working with, you know, whoever's in front of me, whatever audience is in front of me. And
I think it works because Kenny can be very, I was going to say annoying, but you know, he.
What she means is funny.
He's very funny. And honestly, I would not be with you this long if I didn't think you were funny.
Only likes the funny. That's the only thing. Once I lose that, I'm out.
He does the warm up for our show. He'll do some sort of shtick with juggling or chair routine or something. And I, to this day, we've done thousands of shows. I still stand in the wings and I still laugh every time at the same stupid bits. I still find them charming and hilarious and funny, and you know, and he's improvising.
Did you ever see 50 First Dates? She has a very short-term
memory. Yes, I did.
No, I do. I still find him charming and adorable.
Like the fish in Finding Nemo.
Exactly. Maybe that's my,
I think maybe you just answered Kenny Ahern's question too.
Of how to get along?
Yeah.
Find each other funny?
No, have amnesia.
Oh, yeah.
See, you've forgotten already. I'm telling you, this is an example right here.
I'm going to let you guys go on that. Before I let you go, do you have some sort of social media or something you want to plug before you go?
Sure.
John Abrams at, oh wait, no, that's you.
Info at.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, well, our website, definitely, if anybody's interested in like what we're doing and our virtual stuff, it's pageturneradventures.com. And then social media, we're just Paige Turner Adventures on Facebook, at Paige Turner Ads on Twitter, and Paige Turner Adventures on Instagram.
Paige Turner Adventures at lostpets.com.
I know we are on lostpets.com, but
everybody's gonna be looking up the cats lady, I'm sure. K-A-T-Z.
You know,
yes.
And if you haven't already, make sure to visit schoolofastonishment.com to register your kids for my next magic class, or send me a quick message at info@schoolofastonishment.com. That's info@schoolofastonishment.com. Tell me you heard this on the Variety Artist Podcast, and I'll give you a huge discount. Now go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.
That's all for this episode of The Variety Artist, but your journey continues on our website. Go to thevarietyartist.com for more strategies, insight, and resources, as well as show notes on today's guest to assist you in your career. We'll see you on the next episode of The Variety Artist. But until then, go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.